I'm Ruth Morton, IT Pro Advisor at Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager Podcast, a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. I invite you to visit microsoft.ca/IT podcast for supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcast episodes. Today, many businesses use business intelligence or BI tools to extract insight from large volumes of data to measure how the business is performing against strategic goals. However, IT managers can still face a difficult time convincing users that BI tools are beneficial, as well as convincing corporate executives that the technology offers a strong return on investment. In fact, a survey of users attending a recent Computer World BI Perspectives conference indicated that many firms are still seeking ways to get users to adopt BI tools and processes. In fact, about 60% of those polled said that less than 15% of users in their companies use BI tools. Today, our panel of experts includes Ed Raffin from National Money Mart, Paul Barter from T4G, and Ryan Dochuk from Microsoft Canada. We will be discussing the common pitfalls of using business intelligence solutions for performance management, how organizations can strengthen their BI adoption across the business, and how National Money Mart is using BI for its planning department. Before we get started, can everyone just go around and introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about your organization and your role? And Ed, we'll start with you.
Hello, my name is Ed Raffin. I'm Director of IT Operations at National Money Mart. We are a subsidiary of Dollar Financial Group out of Philadelphia. We operate 1,200 stores in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. We provide our customers with immediate access to cash and financial services. Besides doing my day job, I'm also the project manager of the budgeting and forecasting project. Right now, we're in the middle of implementing Performance Point Server in our organization.
And I'm Paul Barter. I'm the Vice President of Strategy at T4G Limited. We're a full-service, project-based technology services organization in Canada, across the country. We have been doing business intelligence and performance management since the beginning of the business over a decade ago, and would probably be Microsoft's largest BI and performance management partner in Canada. In addition to my day job, I also teach technology strategy and e-commerce marketing at the Schulich School of Business at York University.
My name is Ryan Dochuk. I'm the product manager for business intelligence based here in Toronto, Canada. Microsoft has been in the business intelligence space for nearly 10 years now with the introduction of the original SQL Server. Since then, we've made a significant amount of investments to enhance the BI capabilities of other products such as Microsoft Office Excel and BI capabilities within Microsoft Office SharePoint Server. About a month and a half ago, we introduced a new product around corporate performance management called Performance Point Server 2007.
So performance management and BI are the new buzzwords, but can you define these technologies exactly and how they work together?
Yeah, absolutely. Business intelligence is really a broad category of applications and technologies for gathering, storing, analyzing information for the sole purpose of helping people within that organization make better decisions about that information. So you may have heard terms such as ETL, data warehousing, performance management, budgeting, forecasting, dashboards, scorecarding, data mining, analytics, and a variety of other terms associated with business intelligence. But the one thing that these all have in common is to help people make better decisions. And performance management's a little bit different than that. So you heard the terms dashboards and scorecards, as well as budgeting and forecasting. These are really applications designed to help people manage the performance management processes, methodologies within their organization. So these are technologies helping to assist those processes.
And Paul, do you have anything else to add to that definition?
Well, I think I'd agree with Ryan with his definition. So what I just add from a pure business perspective, performance management is about measuring the things that matter to my business. So in a lot of cases, those are financial metrics. But in a lot of other businesses, they may be other things. In a retailer, it could be my inventory position or my supply chain position. In a financial services organization, it could be things like exchange rate or other. So when we talk about performance management, we tend to focus specifically on the financial metrics that are important to our customers, but also there's multiple other metrics, and those will change based on the specific industry that those customers are in.
Why would you say that BI and performance management is so important today? Why today? Why now?
I think there's several reasons why business intelligence and performance management technologies have become so important to businesses today. The first being is you can really think of the last 5 to 10 years and all the investments that organizations have made in systems such as enterprise resource planning systems or ERP and customer relationship management systems and CRM, all these other systems that are transactional systems within the organization that have been collecting tons of data to help people manage their actual business. But what these systems aren't good at is actually reporting that information and exposing it to people in a way that's meaningful to them to help them make decisions. Business intelligence is a technology that can help access that information in these data stores and help people actually make decisions on the information that's stored within those systems. And also, it's important to note that business intelligence has been the CIO top priority, according to Gartner, for the last 3 years. And, you know, several of those reasons why that's happening is the business priorities that are aligning to make business intelligence such a high priority. So a simple example you could think of is, how can you use business intelligence to improve efficiencies within your supply chain? Another example is attracting and retaining customers. So how can you use business intelligence to determine which customers have the highest propensity to buy certain products from your organization? And essentially, it's this culmination of business priorities, which is driving business intelligence as a technology in many organizations today.
I'd just jump in there too, and I'd say, if you just step back and think about the nature of business today, we're in an increasingly complex, interconnected global economy, and it used to be all right to run your corner store business based on your gut feel and your personal relationships with your customers. But if your supply chain goes back to China or wherever it goes, and your relationships with your customers perhaps are over the internet from all over the world, then the pace of change is so rapid and the volume of information is so large, we really need to use tools to help us make decisions. Another thing I would say, which is really exciting about this and what Microsoft's doing here specifically, is if you look at Canada, a lion's share of the companies in Canada, the kind of backbone of the economy, is mid-sized business. And these tools historically were so expensive that they were only really available to the largest companies. Well, now with what Microsoft has done with Performance Point and their business intelligence portfolio, is really brought tools to the market that, you know, mid-sized businesses can have all the capability that very large enterprises used to have historically. And a really recent example of that is if you look at the wild swings in exchange rate that we've seen recently. If you're a retailer or a financial services organization, you're making decisions in the market that a lot of the inputs to your decision are literally changing on a day-to-day basis.
That's so true. So Ed, let's talk a little bit about National Money Mart. From what I understand, you guys are in the process of implementing Microsoft Performance Point Server. So what kind of benefits do you hope to achieve from this technology as you roll it out?
Yes, National Money Mart's been around for 25 years, and we are, I guess, one of those mid-sized companies. When we were smaller, we were able to, you know, our management team was able to really understand the business a lot, you know, without a lot of metrics, a lot of reporting. But as we're growing, it's becoming more difficult to manage by just knowing the business, by just having that understanding. Now we need more information. We have to, you know, and we are gathering a lot of information. And it's been very difficult now to really get a handle on that information, because a lot of it was just reports, people bringing that information into our systems using Excel. There was a lot of our analysts were using Excel and using select statements, which was fine when we were a smaller company. But as we're growing, that's becoming more difficult. And now we got a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of links. Our analysts are spending more time just managing the links in the spreadsheets rather than trying to understand where the business is, where are some of our challenges. So we're getting to a size now that we have to start doing things differently. We can't spend our time gathering this information. We have to spend more time analyzing the information. So that's when we started looking at products. The other members of the panel have mentioned is that it was very expensive. We looked at the other products out in the market. We are not we are globally present. We have stores in the U.S. and in the U.K., but we're not on that size where we can afford to the global solution. So, we basically we kept looking, and then suddenly Microsoft came up with this performance point server, and it was built on a lot of the tools that we already have. So there wasn't a huge amount of money licensing-wise to get into that product. So that's why we started looking at the product, and essentially we're trying to eliminate all our Excel spreadsheets and all the effort that we're spending in maintaining those spreadsheets.
Specifically, what kind of benefits? So you're going to eliminate some of the duplication and some of the spreadsheets, and are there other things that you're hoping to get out of this implementation?
Well, I think there's a lot of data there. Obviously, all our planning and our forecasting are all in the spreadsheets. Which is limited, access to that is limited to other people who understand the linking and the size of the spreadsheets is difficult to deliver that information to other people. So we're looking at eliminating all that linking that's going on, but at the same time we're trying to open up that information to other people in the company, managers, our field staff. So it becomes more of controlling the information, but also delivering that information to people who need it.
It sounds like, do you think there's going to be any cultural changes to what's going to happen in your company and how you manage this data and take a look at this data and access this data?
Well, yes. As we're growing, obviously our operational staff and our management staff is growing too, where in the past, I guess there was a few people that knew the insides and outs of all the business. Now, as we're growing, we have a lot more people, and there's a desire now to provide accountability and responsibility down and drive it down into our organization. So that will require that to get more involved in the planning and the budgeting and setting targets. And, of course, at the same time, those people have to have some feedback on how their plans and their targets are progressing.
Okay.
So we need to drive the planning and also the monitoring back down through the organization.
Now we've talked about the benefits, but with any technology implementation, there are also pain points. What would you say are the most common BI challenges?
One of the most common challenges today that organizations face is that they typically have between 6 to 12 different business intelligence platforms within the organization. So in addition to the cost of just supporting these multiple different systems in terms of training, supporting the infrastructure, it also causes a challenge around maintaining the data and maintaining that single version of truth across these various systems. So you can think of as one business unit might define revenue or sales or certain key performance indicators in a different way than another business unit, causing significant challenges in how executives actually make decisions across these different groups. Another significant challenge is that business intelligence tools can be typically very challenging to learn and use. And there's a challenge for them to not rely on IT as much as they have in the past. So you can think of the common IT scenario where an example would be, I would go and I would need a report within a certain sales, on certain sales for a certain quarter. I'd create my requirements and send it to the IT department. IT department would go and create that report within a few weeks or within a month. Send that report back to the business unit. The business unit would see it. They'd want to say, oh, but I need one more column, or oh, I need one more row. And that results in having to send those new requirements back to the IT department, causing this kind of reporting churn, not letting IT people do what they do best, which is maintain IT infrastructure. Another important movement is a change from this historic reporting to integrated performance management. And you can think of decisions in the past. You used to make decisions that were based on information that was 2 years old or 1 year old, or maybe it was just last quarter or last month. But there's an ongoing change with the availability of information in organizations today. It's becoming more and more important that people have information that they can access and monitor in near real time. And not just monitor, but be able to instantly, if I see something, a light that's trending, instead of green is trending red on my scorecard, I can actually drill into that information, figure out why that's happening, and actually start to think about how I'm going to actually take action and change that performance immediately. So there's a general change from this notion of historic reporting to integrated performance management. And finally, users are really looking to have BI integrated into their daily processes. So a quick example might be is if I'm looking for a report in today's organization, you might have to go to a different intranet site and actually try and create this report. A better solution might be is if a user could actually just go to a search engine within their intranet, search for the name of a report, and actually pull up that report. Or a different example would be if I'm a sales manager and I want to create my sales forecast for the year, I shouldn't have to go to a disparate intranet application from my organization where I have to learn new tools and processes to actually go and create that forecast. I should be able to open Excel, the tool that I use every day for everything else in my daily job, be able to enter that forecast and submit it, but at the same time have the same control and same reliability of that information being stored centrally within my organization. So essentially, users are looking to have BI integrated as part of their daily process.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ryan, and I'd maybe just say the same things in a couple of different ways. The world is changing out there pretty rapidly, and one of the analogies that I tend to use all the time is my wife is a yoga teacher, and she runs a business. She trains people in yoga on a regular basis, and she uses IT all the time. So she knows how to use a search engine to look up something. It's a simple screen, be it Microsoft Live Search or Google or whatever. She enters data and she gets a response back. So that's kind of one paradigm that the world is based on today. The other paradigm is we have this traditional reality and information technology in large organizations where if you want a new report on data that's specific to a corporation, historically, you had to go back to IT to get that report. So how come non-sophisticated users can ask a question and get an answer on the internet broadly, but within the firewall inside the corporation, sometimes it takes us weeks or months to get an answer to our data question. And I think that's really a challenge historically. And I think Microsoft's done a great job with Performance Point Server and providing a tool that enables people to do that. You know, realistically, if you can use Excel, then you can use these tools. And anybody that was in business school or, you know, took an accounting course or whatever over the course of the last 30 years knows how to use Excel. So these are tools that are really, you know, efficient, visual, easy to use, interactive tools that enable people to make decisions in a corporation. So, I mean, that's certainly one of the points I would make. Another thing that I would say is there's really multiple components to Performance Point. And there's different requirements for different types of users in an enterprise. You know, senior executives or people with a particular vertical role, like a sales manager or manufacturing manager, they would have a scorecard, and it might be a stoplight type analogy, red, yellow, green. And if they come in and they look at their scorecard and everything's green, then they should go off and take care of sales or take care of the factory floor or whatever. And only when they have alerts that come up, do they need to dig in and get more detail? So those types of tools are very appropriate tools for the lion's share of people in an organization. We do need a small number of people that can dig in to the data when a yellow light or a red light comes on and ask new and different questions. And based on the response they get, iterate and ask more questions. And Microsoft's provided that capacity in Performance Point as well.
To that point, Paul, you know, you have the scorecard and it's either green or yellow or red, but that depends on the data behind the scorecard. How do you deal with, I mean, many companies have difficulty gathering the data. So how do you deal with that?
So I think that's the role of IT and of, you know, third-party organizations like ours are changing to focus very specifically on that. We talk about terms like master data management, but really making sure the data on the back end is consistent and everybody agrees that it's appropriate. You know, if you think historically when it was really hard to create a report, then you had to ask IT or external consultants to create those reports for you. But now the tool is making it simpler for our users to do that themselves. And that makes the users happy because they don't have to wait, you know, days or weeks or months to get a report from IT. It makes IT happy because they didn't like doing that in the first place. And now we can focus more on making sure the data is accurate on the back end. And that the information that they're using to help make their decisions and feeds into the tools that they're using is accurate.
And I think that's a good point. I think all the good decisions and helping people make the right decisions within organization is primarily based around having confidence and reliability and trust in the data that's in the underlying system. So what we have today in the Microsoft Business Intelligence solution is that we have three layers to our applications. We have our BI platform, where we have the single version of the truth, and we store that trustworthy, reliable, single version of the truth. We also have our end-user tools that are easy to use, such as Microsoft Office Excel and surface data information within Microsoft Office SharePoint Server, as well as we have Performance Point Server, so for the dashboards and scorecards information that we have to actually manage the performance of the organization. A lot of these end-user tools and platform has made it much easier to contribute to data to ensure that single version of the truth and that underlying data is relevant. So for example, if you were to do a budgeting and forecasting process today with Performance Point Server, you're actually contributing directly to the BI platform or that single version of the truth data right from within Excel and not having these multiple versions of the truth. So if you're to think of a traditional budgeting cycle with an organization, typically starts with someone in the IT group or the business group sending out some kind of Excel template. That Excel template is immediately copied to everyone's desktop and everyone has multiple versions of the truth. The next step is everyone will go and contribute to that budget or forecast for the year, then send that back to the IT group or the business group to consolidate that template. And what that really is, it's a very manual, very slow, very error-prone process. And what it really results in is scorecards set with plans and activities that might not be as accurate as they could be. So when we talk about the framework of dashboards and scorecards, it's about having all the tools in the organization ensuring that they're aligned to have a single version of the truth built on a single data model with strong integration of all the BI products within the organization.
So we've talked about some of the common pitfalls when using BI. We've talked about issues of data and having a single point of truth. We've talked about using tools that are already familiar and not introducing new tools or new interfaces. Paul, are there any other pitfalls that that people should know about when they're looking at BI?
Well, I think it's important to now that we're making the tools simpler for end users to use, I think it's important for senior management to step up and make sure that we're measuring and reporting on the appropriate things. So for different organizations and different businesses at different times, there's different data that's important. And so we tell a couple of different stories about this. One analogy we use is we all drive cars. If you get in a car and you're sitting in front of the steering wheel, there's two lights to the upper right side of the car steering wheel that can potentially come on. One of them is the engine light, and the other one is the windshield washer warning light. They're both important information, but there's a different level of importance. So if the windshield washer light comes on, you can drive around for a little while, especially if it's a dry day, and wait till your next fill up to fill up the fluid. But the other one, if the engine light comes on, you better pull over and stop the car and make a decision. So different things are different levels of important. Another story we tell is a little more esoteric, but there's a story about the Oakland Athletics baseball team. And this comes from 3 or 4 years ago. If you look at the Oakland Athletics and their manager, Billy Bean, he was given an opportunity to make some different decisions about how a baseball team is managed. His problem was that he was asked to win the World Series, and he was given a third of the budget of, the LA Dodgers and the New York Yankees, etc. So he needed to figure out a way to recruit baseball players that could enable him to be successful and win more games. And so he looked at, he made a business intelligence or performance management decision. And he decided not to recruit people based on the traditional metrics that they use in baseball. Instead of recruiting people with really high batting averages, he picked a different metric, which was on-base percentage. So he didn't care so much what people's batting average was. He cared that when they went up to the plate, they didn't get out. They didn't strike out, basically. And so if they got a hit or walked, either one from his perspective was appropriate. And so he recruited a lot of people that others weren't interested in and created a very successful team based on defining a new metric that others really didn't perceive to be important. So it's important for senior managers, especially in a world that's changing as quickly as our world is now, with, you know, issues like globalization and fluctuating exchange rates, etc., to really step back and say, for our particular business, what are the really important metrics that we want to focus on? And based on those metrics, identify, you know, scorecards for everybody in the organization that really is going to drive the performance of the business.
Any other advice on how businesses can overcome the barriers that we've talked about? Any specifics?
I would just say again that historically, you know, we talked about executive information systems, and today business intelligence tools should be, in our opinion, on virtually every desktop in the organization. So in the kind of latest and greatest of the, you know, business accounting research, we're told of this concept of open book management, which basically says, you know, we, in a world where we, a lion's share of our employees are knowledge workers, then we should provide more and more data to them in order for them to make the decisions in the organization. We don't assume that they're employees that need to be, you know, chased and watched and monitor. We give them the data and tell them what the goals of the organization are and empower them to be successful.
And Ed, do you have anything to add to that about some of the things that MoneyMart has done to be able to have a successful implementation?
Well, I think one of our pain points was that, we have a lot of people going into our transactional systems and pulling out data. Unfortunately, you know, the transactional systems, most of them weren't designed to provide this new, you know, business intelligence. So that's where you have to kind of clean up this data. So you have all these different people coming at it in different ways, coming up with different answers. And again, when you're a small company, those kind of differences really didn't matter as much. But now it's becoming critical. People don't have a lot of time to spend on trying to understand why one group has a different number than another group. And, you know, you're making decisions, and you just can't afford to spend that time. So you know, again, as people mentioned, is one of the issues here is getting common definitions, and that's what BI does. And as Paul mentioned, that's what IT is attempting to do, is to bring all that data, get some common definitions, make sure that data is good, so we have this common source of the truth. The other thing too is, it seems that we're getting into other types of questions or queries or understanding, where in the past we were looking at just maybe sales dollars, but now we're looking at, well, you know, we're going to introduce a new product. How's that going to cannibalize our other products? What's the impact? Suddenly, those kinds of answers aren't readily available by just creating a simple SQL statement. So now we are, these tools now give us the ability to answer some of those two questions. Of course, getting that data all together is not that simple. There is quality of data. It's determining how do we bring it together and how do we make sure that data is good, the quality is good. So those are still challenges that we're working at. We don't have all the answers, but I'm starting to see there's a realization in the organization that we just can't keep doing business as usual. We have to start looking at these tools and getting a common definition amongst ourselves. That's going to take a little bit of effort. It's not going to be easy, but it has to be done.
So, Ed, essentially what's happening is that you're able to manage this data at a deeper level. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, we've got a lot of transactional data. It's now bringing it together in a way that we can now answer more complicated questions, like I mentioned, cannibalization, when we bring in a new store into an area with other stores, are we taking away sales from our existing stores, or are we increasing our sales because we're getting more customers?
Yeah, I'd make one other comment that maybe I missed earlier. Probably for the last 30 years in business, people have gone through, you know, MBA programs and business schools and the like, and we've really understood the importance of cost to profitability in an organization. So business intelligence tools have been really focused at helping us take out cost in whatever way we do that. In a retailer, it might be reduce inventory or whatever. And what's really happened over the last couple of years is we've begun to realize again that it's really important to grow our businesses. You know, we've taken out a lot of cost and we've got to the point of diminishing returns in many businesses. And so we really need to look for growth. And a lot of the data that's available to us to help find growth doesn't sit inside the company anymore. So the attraction to some of these new tools is we can focus on the master data management based on the specific data that we have in the company, the transactions we have with our customers, et cetera. But we can also begin to bring in to the organization some external data that's available via the internet or third-party feeds or whatever. And when something happens in the business environment, like, you know, a very good example recently is a significant adjustment in exchange rates. Well, does that create challenges? Probably, but also some opportunities for us to go after new segments of the markets that perhaps we wouldn't have approached historically. Another kind of great story that we talk about is one of our customers is a major retailer who's we'll leave unnamed right now, but they actually track weather data off the coast of Africa. And when they see low pressure zones developing in the fall off the coast of Africa, they stock their stores in Florida with generators and bottled water and the like, which might be in high demand if there is a hurricane that hits. So they really are being intelligent about using external data to help make decisions that drive the growth of the business and bring value to customers.
So one last question. When you're talking about driving the adoption of business intelligence across a business, do you gentlemen have any tips and tricks to share?
Well, I think the first step in any discussion around investing in business intelligence technology is really to understand where you're at and where you want to be in terms of your goals around business intelligence and performance management. For example, you know, a lot of the topics today, a first good step for many organizations today, because they don't have a lot of business intelligence infrastructure already, is just to get the data cleaned up and consolidated into that single version of the truth that we've already discussed quite frequently today. Without that, you really can't start thinking about other things such as dashboards and scorecards and, you know, predictive analytics and data mining until you have that single version of the truth and that data identified throughout your entire organization. So that is a first step, is something that's a lot of organizations overlook, and they try to jump ahead to maybe a level of maturity within technology that they shouldn't have before they really hammer that home.
It's like you've got to have the solid foundation that you can build on.
Exactly.
I'd make a couple of comments. One of them is, we've talked already about moving to tools that are visual and interactive and easy to use is a big step for it. And, you know, Microsoft really helps out there with Performance Point. So that's a first step. The second one is, just because the tools are easy to use doesn't mean you shouldn't train people. So I think it's important to not just, you know, dump onto people's desktop a new tool and say, you know, you're expected to run your business on it. Take them through it. Even if they're simple, there might be, you know, challenges that are not intuitive to, you know, some individuals. So go through a training scenario with everybody that's expected to use the system. A third thing I would say is it's really important in tools like this, if we're really using it to manage the performance of our business, it's important that everybody uses them all the way up the food chain. So the traditional model where everybody uses these systems except the people who run the business, the senior executives, doesn't work. You know, you need people at the top that are data-driven and making decisions based on data and that are asking questions of the people that work for them based on the data that they're getting. So if there's not top-down buy-in for running a business based on data-driven decision-making, then it's not going to work as well.
And I think just to add on to Paul's comments, I think another really important concept is just to integrate it into your business processes. So if you have a dashboard or scorecard that you're using to measure your business, make sure that it's integrated into your monthly review or quarterly review of the right of financial or business indicator or financial business review to ensure that you're actually using this scorecard based on this real information. a lot of organizations today, a common mistake that they have is they'll make these great investments in the technology, they'll train people, but they won't actually integrate it into their processes and essentially enabling people to kind of work around what they would have used with these new tools and rely on their old technologies and, you know, their ad hoc Excel spreadsheets that they want to carry into the meeting. So that's something that, you know, organizations should be wary of.
Yeah. Another thing I would say that that organizations are starting to be kind of permeable at the edges. So if you think of somebody that sells products that has a supply chain where the products that they sell, you know, are sourced from distributors or manufacturers that are in other countries around the world, then perhaps you should extend the use of these tools outside your organization to those folks back down the supply chain. So if there's going to be, you know, a very rainy fall in Toronto, then you want more umbrellas, then perhaps you should let people in the factories that make umbrellas for you know about it as early as possible.
Ed, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I think, you know, the tools are starting to become quite good. But the trouble is, what we found out is that even though you can demonstrate the power and the flexibility of these tools, if the business side is not ready for it, you know, and ready being that, you know, they have to start looking at pulling their information differently, looking at, you know, dashboards, scorecards, bringing all the, you know, single point of the truth. It's really tough for IT to kind of lead the way. We're finding that really until the business finds some kind of pain threshold or some champion, it's very difficult to introduce this into your organization. Once they get to that point and now they can understand why the single source of the truth is important, why bringing this information to a lot of other people in the organization is important. So, you know, just because the tools are great doesn't mean that the organization is ready to use them.
So with MoneyMart, how did it come that you're implementing it? Where did the push or the drive come for your business to implement this technology?
Well, it came to, I get, you know, basically the organization hit that pain threshold where trying to manage their business using a bunch of linked spreadsheets was taking too much time and effort. So they got to a point where they couldn't, they were spending more time feeding the beast than trying to understand where the business is going. That was the pain threshold. And of course, the opportunity or the availability of this new product at the right price level really opened a lot of people's eyes and say, well, you know, we're able now to afford this solution, and I guess the price is less than the pain that we're experiencing. So let's start looking at this product seriously.
Yeah, and Paul here, I just jump in and say I think that may be representative of a lot of companies in the Canadian economy. So that it may be very timely for us, you know, given some of the disruption that's going on globally these days. And again, I'll highlight exchange rate as an example of that. Tools that, you know, the backbone of the Canadian economy, those mid-sized businesses that run this country, can use to be more effective in a global context are, I think, incredibly important.
So in conclusion, are there any resources that you have that our listeners can go to find out more information about business intelligence?
Absolutely. So we have what's called a Microsoft Business Intelligence Resource Kit. It's available at www.microsoft.ca/BI, and that has technical white papers, a virtual PC image, so you can actually play with the software, as well as other information related to Microsoft's business intelligence products.
And from my perspective, you're welcome to go to our website, www.t4g.com, and you'll see case studies and success stories and customer examples of what we've done in the business intelligence world. And you're also welcome to email me at paul.barter@t4g.com.
Thanks so much, Ed, Paul, and Ryan, for taking the time to share your experiences and your knowledge with us.
Bye, Ed. Thanks for taking the time.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye.
That concludes this episode of the IT Manager Podcast. We hope that what you've heard today inspires you to take a look at how BI can help your business. Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast, where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Join us again next month for a look at how Windows Server 2008 will help take some of the complexity out of IT security. Thanks for listening.